Ladies, gentlemen, welcome back to Homemaker Chic Podcast. We are rescuing the art of homemaking on this podcast. And this season, season 25, Angela and I are so happy to be sharing with you our top 10 for all the things.
All the things.
Because sometimes you do need a good bullet list, don't you?
Yeah, because typically, I mean, I don't ever take everything, you know? But when you got 10, like, you can take 6, you can take 7.
Yeah.
You know, I could apply that.
That's right.
I could take that for a test drive.
Yeah. Sometimes you need just a little bit of an action item to kind of get you going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here's the thing is even if you're not homeschooling your kids, Angela and I have 10 kids between the two of us. Even if you're not homeschooling them or there's still stuff going on, like you still have to kind of come out of this summer bit. I'm not saying we're quite there yet. I'm just saying right. It's coming. Okay, it's coming.
No, it's coming.
So yeah. We kind of have to gear up and kind of do the next thing, right? Yes. Everybody does that. And homemaking is no exception. And the ways that we can do that in our home are really lovely. And so we hope that we meet you where you're at with this season, whether we're going to be talking about fashion or cleaning or organization or food or all kinds of wonderful things that, look, we just need to encourage each other and spur each other on. We need help. Do you need some help today, Angela?
I need help today. I couldn't log into my own computer 2 hours ago when we were supposed to record because apparently I'm a password wizard. It was a combination of my keyboard died on me and I bought a new cord knowing this morning at 6:30 when I discovered the keyboard had died. Couldn't get the new cord to work. And then I couldn't remember my own computer password.
Is that all it was? You just forgot your password?
I'm never logged out. So... yeah, it was great. Mm. It was not stressful at all. And then I just sat down to record 10 minutes ago, and I have sort of a new setup at my desk, and it's actually really pretty, and it's working for me, which is, it's great going into a new season because I've got a lot of, you know, school curriculum and like sort of mom/business admin. So I'm really loving my new desk, but my computer fell forward on the wine glass that I had just poured and shattered wine and glass everywhere. So I'm sitting on a t-shirt, hoping I don't get stabbed in the butt. That's what's happening right now.
And look, we're going to talk about organization today. And I wanted so badly to sit down to record this episode and just be like jamming and be like, yeah, I did this and did. And I wanted to like be a half step ahead of our audience so that I could really come and bring some good juju to the conversation. That's not what happened. You guys, that's not what happened. But either way, we're so glad to be with you all. You can follow us over on Instagram at Homemaker Chic Podcast. Everything we talk about today, we're going to put notes and links and codes and all that in the show notes below the podcast. So you can check those out as well. But we want to say thank you to Season 25, advertiser, longtime supporter of our show, American Blossom Linens. We did an entire series about making your bed because we think it is so important that you not only sleep well, but that it reflects where you're at. So you can dress your bed with American Blossom linens. Once you get used to sleeping on these sheets, you will really notice the difference. Particularly, look, August is still a hot month.
Yeah.
These sheets keep you cool. They breathe. So they're made with all West Texas cotton made right here in the United States. There's nothing synthetic, no cheap blends, just incredibly soft sheets that allow, you know, as you sleep and you like warm your bed up. Mm-hmm. My favorite part about these sheets, besides the way they feel against my skin, is the way that they actually do breathe. Have you ever slept in those sheets that make you feel like you're suffocating? It's like you have a piece of saran wrap over the top of you.
Yeah. Yes. It's like sleeping in pajamas or something. Oh. You can just feel the
plastic.
Well, the plastic. Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. American Blossom Linens does such an incredible job at weaving sheets that are meant to last a lifetime. They are offering Homemaker Chic listeners an incredible 20% off with the code TOP20, all one word, so you can visit AmericanBlossomLinens.com. Use that code TOP20. This is the time of year where you got to get rid of your old stained summer towels. You got to make sure everyone has sheets for the bed. Everyone needs socks and new toothbrushes. So shop this sale while you can, because Janet has been very generous with her 20% off code with that. We're going to put that below the show notes as well, in case you forget.
Brilliant. A beautiful bed indeed. Well, you know, I'm obsessed with making my home beautiful, and that beauty just doesn't mean the design. It means that I don't want my home to be layered in toxins and fake clean smells. I can't stand it when you have someone over, and this is pre-Branch Basics for me, and like your house smelled like cleaning products. Kind of a giveaway that you just hauled.
No one knows we live here.
No one knows we live here. Yeah. But I don't like the fake clean smell. And that's why I use Branch Basics. They are the real deal. One concentrate does it all. Laundry, dishes, counters, windows, bathrooms, even makeup brushes and produce, which I think is so cool. Clean your makeup brushes once a week, at least every couple of weeks, get that bacteria off, and produce. You just mix it with their refillable bottles. You can do glass or plastic. I love plastic. But Branch Basics is plant-based, fragrance-free, and it's safe for every surface, including your children and your pets. And the best part of it is that it actually works, like really, really works. And my favorite thing to do is to clean my stove with the all-purpose. So if you've been thinking about switching to a truly clean cleaning routine, like you, the integrity is there, the testimonials are there, this is your sign up. You want to go to branchbasics.com/homemakerschic for 15% off any starter kit. Do what I did, get the glass one, because it makes you feel really special while you're cleaning your house. Simplify your home, detox your cleaning routine, and feel good about the way your house smells when company comes over.
You said I love plastic. You meant I love glass. I know you love the glass bottles.
I said I love plastic.
You do. You did. Yes.
I'm done. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next Monday.
For top 10 ways to get your life together.
Oh my gosh.
Number one. What's
your office routine?
That's right. Oh, that is right.
Goodness. I'm excited about today. So we're going to talk about organizing, but a little bit more like the pretty side of it.
Yeah. You know,
the home, the clutter-free home, but not minimalism. And it's okay if you're a minimalist, but to our listeners that aren't, I also want you to feel like you can enjoy this episode, because I don't know about for you, but like, because I do like stuff. Clutter to me is receipts and single socks and Nerf bullets, as precious as they are, and wrappers and just the stuff that, you know, doesn't get put away. That's the clutter for me. But because I am a collector, if I don't edit, which we'll talk about later on, it can start to feel a little bit congested. And I think this is the perfect time of year to think about being clutter-free, because whether you're homeschooling or sending the kids back to school in a few weeks, it's still a really cathartic time of year.
Yeah.
It's kind of this fresh start. And I think it has as much sway and as much impact in our sort of planning and meditations as the new year.
I was just going to say, August, I told you on the phone earlier, I never make any major life decisions in August or January.
Or February. I was going to say, or February, but yeah.
January/February. You're right. Okay. February is more accurate because I was thinking end of January in my mind. But August and February, it's like, these are just transition periods. And if you think of like transition when you're having a baby, these are not the times where you're going to decide if you're going to have another baby. Just don't make that decision in that moment. There's too much going on.
And it's going to get worse.
Yeah. So exactly. So I think I don't want to rush this month.
No.
But every month has its own particular flavor and feel. And even though August is very much still summer here, the light changes ever so slightly. We've passed the summer solstice. And so over the course of August, you notice that the sun does come up later, even though it gets hot during the day. The sun comes up a little bit later. It goes down a little bit earlier. And that translates to particular feelings in the home.
It does. In the angle, I mean, the angles change. Like, that's, I have a right. few plants in pots outside, and they were positioned in a place where they were safe from the late afternoon sun. And now I just noticed it's just coming right in.
Yeah.
From, like, the lower west as the day progresses. I'm like, oh, you look mad. I guess yeah. I better move you.
Yeah. And those are those moments, which I think is so timely that we're talking about this now. This is when sometimes the collection starts to feel a little cluttery to me. I don't know if it's just, it's like, again, transition and labor. We were like, everyone away. I need yeah. to just
and
do
I'm done
this.
Talking now.
That's
no more,
right.
No more solitaire.
No more jokes.
Your favorite songs.
That's right.
Stop touching me.
Exactly. I just kind of need to be able to see this in a different way, because yeah. during summer, you know, our coat rack doesn't have winter coats on it, but it has like all these bags that we used to take out to the pool, and goggles and flip-flops and just all kinds of baskets and wonderful things. And those are still relevant, but there's something about when August comes where I'm like, all right, let's thin the herd just a little bit. So, well,
yeah, I think that, you know, the home calendar is like the old religious calendar. I mean, there are things that like hearken to things to come.
Yeah.
And I love, that is one of my favorite, actually, it's a part of life that I very much enjoy, the calendar, like this schedule of like, okay, now I will shift my thoughts to XYZ. Now I will shift my thoughts to this. And, you know, in the spring and summer, like as a gardener, I'm thinking about, okay, and then I'm going to, this week I'll take this tray out and I'll harden this off and I'll do this. And, you know, you're kind of like calculating and murmuring in your soul and your spirit and your, while you're cleaning yeah. the kitchen, da, 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 da. And now the thoughts have shifted to, okay, and now we're going to talk about college, we're going to think college applications, and I'm going to like get XYZ organized and tidy, because if it's not, it's going to really cause problems for the school year. And just, you just start doing the groove, but it's yeah. different than it was 60, 75 days ago.
Yes. So let's just roll right into tip number one is defining your space. So what does your space need to be for this season? Mm-hmm. So our dining room, for example, didn't need to be anything other than a dining room for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Looking ahead, that is not going to be the case, because we don't have a schoolroom. Our dining room is our schoolroom. Our cabinet that looks like it would have beautiful dishes and linens in it is full of school stuff in our dining room. Mm-hmm. And this is just the way that we have learned to make use of our space. But I think if we're wanting to create, you know, cozy is maybe a little bit of a warm word for the summertime, but yeah. For lack of a better word, a cozy home that feels good. You know, I think straight out of the gate, you need to figure out what the heck you need your space to be for the next season. That doesn't mean for always. Mm. It doesn't mean for always.
Yeah. And I think if you're like sort of pulling back from an aerial view and you're looking at the whole home, I don't know about the listeners. For me, this isn't a time to consider the whole home. Like January is more where I'm like, oh, that linen closet, you know, but this is more like the kitchen, the dining room, the family room, kitchen, dining, family room, maybe yeah. the room because of whatever, you know, produce yeah. and goggles and things like that. But like that main, and I know not everyone listening has family, but like that main where the prime activity happens.
And yeah.
You can get like real snagged up if it's cluttered, really. I mean,
it's just cluttered. Yeah. All right. You remember my harvest table that I have in my kitchen? Mm-hmm. So I have like this little kind of cabinet that sits underneath my window, and it houses silverware and assortment of other things.
It's really narrow
beautiful.
One.
It's a little narrow.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Got big, long, pretty legs. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it has this wood top. And what I like to do, I call it my harvest table, because whatever I'm harvesting, I will display on top of this. So it could be like a little mason jar of parsley. It could be a basket of apples. It could be heads of garlic in a little dish. Sometimes it'll be just loaves of bread on a cutting board or stacks of beautiful napkins. I'm kind of every day I kind of fuss with this little space because it's fun. It's like, I really enjoy sort of curating that. Well, the other day I was at the store and I saw this beautiful basket and it had these really sexy kind of slanted sides with these upjutting handles, and it was a wicker basket. And in my mind, I just thought, I need three of those perfectly lined up on top of the harvest table. And then I'm going to curate the things inside the basket. So when you look visually at the table, you just see three like perfectly symmetrical baskets.
Okay.
Right? Because, and I will change this 100% in about 60 days. But there is something was like, I need to define this space. I need to give this space edges. Because I don't know what on earth happens to the summer kitchen. But by golly, I can't even remember the last time that thing was scrubbed clean. And I've been scrubbing it clean. But it's like it just eats it. I don't know what happens.
The summer kitchen, like the outdoor kitchen or the summer
kitchen? No, the kitchen.
It's gross. My kids the other day were like, these floors are disgusting. I'm like, I just cleaned up.
I know.
Yesterday, I'm having a friend visit in a few weeks and I texted her. I'm like, I just want you to know, I just painted over all the unknown substances on the wall in the kitchen.
I mean, what are
you're
you gonna,
welcome.
What are you going to do? Yes. So sometimes I think we define our spaces by like creating edges, right? Or like saying this is what this space has to be right now. But then you can also define your space, I think, by just how you feel. What's going to add value? What's going to increase joy? What's going to just sort of like set the boundaries for this so that we kind of know where we're going and what we're doing going forward?
What is our purpose?
Tip number one, define that space.
And it doesn't have to be pretty. I did something so utilitarian last year. Some people are going to roll their eyes. But I did. Get big tubs for the homeschool curriculum. So I was like, here's your 9th grade curriculum. Boop. Here's your 4th grade curriculum. Boop. And we just stack them. It's not pretty. It's not sexy. But we just stack them next to the couch. And then that's how we can do a quick cleanup at the end of the school day. And then that's how everybody can drag their stuff out for school, because everything was just getting strewn about. We have this really cute thing we call the homeschool cabinet, but it gets really bad really fast. And that was a great move, as much as I didn't like it, you know, and like we talked about your pool last week, but it was right for the family. Yep. You know what's going to happen in 2 weeks? One child is going to hand me the 9th grade curriculum and I'm just going to pass it off to the next kid.
There you go.
Because it's all contained.
There you go. And that you're jumping really ahead good. To tip number three.
Oh.
Oh, crap, tip number three.
Okay.
Tip number two, though. Let's talk about that first. Okay. After we've defined our space, tip number two would be to curate collections. And so you can't have it all. Okay. So, no, you got to decide. You got to decide. I have a collection of these really sweet, like little ceramic sheep and cows. And every time I travel, I try to go into these little antique stores and find them. I love them. Okay. And, you know, of course, I have 4 kids. So over the years, like this lamb lost its head. This one's missing a leg. This one got knocked off at the stand. And at some point, that collection either needs to be like really cared for or just put to bed.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Because
I have lambs with missing heads, missing legs. I try to moss over the missing leg.
That's what I'm talking about. At some point, that little cherished collection actually becomes clutter.
Yeah.
And so this is, you know, this is a good time to just to take note. Is this curated? I went through a space when we were what's it called? Making our house, putting stuff in our house. What's that called?
I can't think. I don't know. I'm sitting on wet wine stain.
I can't think of what that's called.
I don't know.
Decorating, but that's not the right word. Yeah.
Not curating.
We went to all kinds of like thrift stores, antique stores, Goodwill, yard sales, blah, 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 blah. And I'm so grateful for that. It was a really creative time of my life. And that went on for years and years and years and years. And then it sort of hit this like, all right, girl.
Are we having a garage sale?
We have crested the amount of yart and chippy old things we can hide and broken baskets that don't actually work.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you kind of get and you realize, oh, all these things that I have been collecting are actually just clutter now.
Mm.
A couple more years of use. Don't sit in that chair. Right. Like, don't use that bowl. It's cracked. At some point, that's actually really unhelpful. So. Yeah. I would say curate your collections intentionally and really be honest with yourself of like, is this a collection or is this clutter? And no, totally individualistic, by the way.
For sure. So I have a hutch in the foyer, like in the front hall, and I keep linens in it. And for the longest time, I just kept all the linens in it because I don't have storage in this house. It was a summer home. There's like two closets. It's bad. And so I have a lot of furniture storage. But I got to the point where it was the same thing. I'm like, wait, this looks terrible. Like, put it away. You don't want to see the mustard yellow and orange Thanksgiving tablecloth in April. You know, so I did kind of carve out, we have a storage room in the basement, and I started just let go. Because I do enjoy stuff, but it doesn't have to all be out at the same time. So I just started moving things like, okay, take these dishes.
Yeah.
We haven't used them in 2 years. Just put them away. If you think of a reason on a holiday, get them out. Just put the stuff away or get rid of it. Like you said, the things that are broken.
Yeah.
It's really, really resonate with like the broken chair, the, oh, don't use that bowl. Don't use that cup. It's cracked. You'll cut your lip. You know?
Yeah.
Just be done.
Yes.
Be
honest.
Yeah.
Be honest.
Joel will go, is this garbage? And I'll have to say, it's in the garbage. Like it's, or it's next to the garbage can. Like, take me out on Tuesday morning. That means,
yeah.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, this might sound sad, like, oh, you have to let go of your precious things. It's actually so liberating. It's so, because it creates space for something else.
Mm-hmm.
So we've defined our space, we've curated our collections and sorted them off from some of the clutter. Again, doesn't mean you have to do your whole house at one time.
No.
But it is good to kind of start seeing with these eyes. Roll into tip number three.
Okay. I jumped the gun.
Again.
Smart storage solutions.
There you go.
So really, the dumb tubs made a huge, huge difference. And I mean, I use baskets. I use ball jars. I use a lot of baskets.
Mm-hmm.
I did sort of try what I thought was going to feel like more posh storage. Like I ordered things off of Amazon, containers and stuff like that. And
bougie containers.
Yeah, it didn't work. I just was like, there's just a bougie aspect my family cannot handle. They can't. They just destroy it. And it's just better to have like a thrift store or a vintage basket that if it gets ruined,
okay.
We'll get another one.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Rubbermaid tubs have made a huge deal. And there's a certain time of the year right about now where every time I go to Costco, I just grab like they have like the big ones that are like a 3 or 4 pack. And then they have the little ones that are just a little bit bigger than a shoebox size. And I just know at this time of the year, that's what the reeds need.
Mm-hmm.
We need those.
Mm-hmm.
And whether I bust out the label maker or not, that's one thing. But just having them already before the need arises is really, really helpful.
I'm going to turn my computer.
I was going to say, what are we looking at?
For those of you who are watching the video on YouTube, girl. I want you to see my office space. You can see I am all about the plastic tubs and the label maker. Unapologetically.
Label maker broke.
Get a new one.
I know.
How can you live without one? They're just so fantastic. And if you're young, you young pups listening to this and you're like, come on, ladies, I want to talk about getting married and having kids. And like, listen, there is someday
tubs.
That the idea of plastic labeled tubs is going to make you so hot. Consider this your warning, okay? It is going to help, I promise. But you got to manage. You get to decide for your home. What do we bring in? What do we want here? What brings us joy? What do we find use out of? It's fine if you have broken things that you love, but it does then fall on the homemaker to manage and collect those and organize them and like make some sort of order from the madness, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're into Christmas and you have tubs and tubs and tubs and tubs of decor, that is so fantastic. And you get to make that choice. But like, you can't just put it in a garbage bag and shove it in the hall closet and expect it to last, to not get broken, to, you know, to be taken care of. So yes. At some point you do kind of have to deal with the storage issue of things.
Right. Being someone who definitely leans more towards maximalist, because I have so many collections and things like that, a question I ask myself is, like, do I own this or does it own me? That's totally sort of my, like, am I a slave to this? I'm like, oh, what am I going to do with this thing? I don't know. Just shove it there under the stairs until I get to it. You know, if that's what it's bringing, it's gone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I learned that lesson after years of high cortisol. Like, why am I so stressed out? Because even though you think it's pretty, maybe you don't need to own it.
Maybe you don't need to own it. Or maybe you did need to own it for a period and now you don't need to own it anymore.
Yeah.
Which rolls into tip number four, which is regular editing.
Yes, please.
Have you ever edited something that you regret?
Yes, but I'm not going to be able to think of it right now. But okay. I have gone, oh, dang, I got rid of that.
Okay.
Question for you. Are you someone who like starts cleaning and then all of a sudden you're editing?
Oh, 100%. Because I don't have an 8-hour Saturday to just do whatever I want.
Yeah.
It's just the stage of life that we are at right now. And so we actually had, for about 6 months last year, we had a housekeeper who came. Her name was Maribel and I loved her. But she would come on Thursdays and just help me to do like floors and toilets and things while we were doing homeschool co-op.
And her.
But the problem is that she would clean, but I realized it's not really like the floor is going to be dirty in 7.2 minutes after she's mopped it. So as nice as it was, and we still need to do that, that really wasn't the type of help I needed. I clean all the time. Mm-hmm. I have no problem doing my dishes. I have no problem vacuuming my floors. But the things that I need to do as I clean mean I need to like repot this plant, clip off the dead leaves, fertilize it, move on. I need to pull these holy jeans out of the laundry and just throw them away. I need to, whatever, refill my Branch Basics bottles and like scrub off the outside and then clean out my cleaning basket. Like,
it's true. It's not really cleaning that's the problem.
It's not cleaning. Like, I do
it's,
that.
It's that homemaking is a big job.
And there's a lot of pieces and I can't say to somebody, hey, I'm going to need you to do this and remember to pull out the chicken for dinner. And then while you're doing that, there's a weird chunk of something at the bottom of the dishwasher. Could you see what that is? Like, oh, and by the way, could you order a new light switch from Amazon? Because that other one got broken. And these are the sort of things like editing in my mind. I'm pretty dang good at throwing stuff away. Our house is small. I've gotten pretty good at
I love throwing things away.
Getting rid of things or just being like, thank you for your service, the end. We've sized out of this, we've moved on from this, whatever it is.
Therapy can help, but sometimes it isn't the whole answer. Talkiatry gives you access to real psychiatric care with licensed clinicians who can diagnose and prescribe medication if it's right for you. It's a simple way to get effective treatment right from home. Talkiatry is a 100% online psychiatric practice. Unlike therapy apps, Talkiatry is psychiatry, and they provide comprehensive evaluations, diagnosis, and ongoing medication management for conditions like ADHD, anxiety, and more. All of their 600-plus clinicians are in-network with major insurers, so you can use your existing insurance instead of paying monthly subscriptions or out-of-network fees. You'll meet with an experienced, licensed psychiatrist who takes the time to understand what's going on, builds a personalized treatment plan, and can prescribe medication when it's right for you. Your care stays consistent and evidence-based. Getting started with Talkiatry takes just a few minutes. Complete a short online assessment, get matched with clinicians who fit your needs, and schedule your first visit in days, not months. Head to talkiatry.com/homemakerchic and complete the short assessment to get matched with an in-network psychiatrist in just a few minutes. That's talkiatry.com/homemakerchic to get matched in minutes.
But the editing is, to me, like the threshold between we're hanging on and we're not going to make it.
Okay. Edit. And sometimes editing is, it's easy to think of editing as removal. Sometimes yeah. Editing is addition.
Yes. So
I have this huge, I can't remember if I shared this last season, that we took out my beautiful French provincial sofa out of the living room because I have like lots of teenagers. There's like hundreds of pounds on a sofa at once now. And I felt like, what am I going to say? Don't roughhouse.
Don't sit on the sofa.
Yeah. So I brought up this big sectional that I got for a YouTube ad years ago. And it's huge. And at the time it was really valuable. Brought it up, kind of broke it into pieces. Well, in manipulating it to work for the space, it's missing legs. So I have vintage books acting as legs.
Yeah.
Sometimes editing is actually getting on Amazon and ordering an extra leg. You know, sometimes.
Oh, totally.
Editing is like, how many light bulbs do we need?
That's right.
To take care of, so that every time I don't look at a chandelier, I grumble in my spirit. You know?
Oh, I need to do that. Those are the things that make me crazy. They just wear on. It's like sandpaper on your skin where you walk past the light bulb and it will take you 14 seconds to deal with the thing. But because it's not the priority, it's never the priority. But if you think about it and it takes you 7 seconds to work through that thought in your mind, but you do that twice a day for 3 months, that's a lot of mental anguish.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And so, yes, editing, sometimes you just got to get like, I got to get brutal. Like the light switched. I was cleaning my living room the other day. We had painted the living room, never put the light switch back on. Don't know where it went.
Oh, got that all over my house.
So I'm like, it was $7.
Yeah. How about we just order
it? How about we just order it?
Give the 12-year-old a screwdriver. And
that's right. Yeah. Just get this covered up so it doesn't look like you're still in a construction zone. So, look, editing is the magic. Editing is the personal flavor. Editing is, frankly, the really fun part because as I'm going through and editing, I'm rearranging things for the season. I'm displaying a new book that I got that I really love the cover of, right? I'm shifting plants so that they're in the right spot of the room for the right light.
Yeah.
This is kind of the pleasure
or to me, the pleasure point. At the very least, the most fulfilling.
Yeah.
Or mental space creating.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we talked about my couch. We talked about your harvest table. But what else, like multifunctional furniture? Do you have other pieces of furniture that you use?
So many. And I'm just like, what do you need to be for the season? It kind of goes back to like that tip one. So like... Mm-hmm. You know, we've had cabinets that have served as homeschool cabinets that now house china. We've had some that held toys and now they hold our linen collection. Stuff is just shifting. It's what I love about furniture because you can move it. You can move it and it's fun to move it. I think it's really fun.
When we first became friends, you moved furniture all the time. Have you found that has slowed down from like watching you? It seems like that's dialed back
I think it's dialed back a little bit. I still will rearrange my living room roughly twice a year because I just love the feeling of a fresh room.
Yeah.
But some are the way that they are. So our bedroom, our bed sits against our big wall and we look out this window. Like there's no other way I would want to arrange that room.
Right. I could not move my bedroom.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of both, but bringing in pieces that, or just reimagining. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever done this. I used to do this when the kids were little and I had more time. Mm-hmm. I would see a cabinet and I would just take everything out of it. And it just like there was something about removing everything out of it that helped me to see it in a fresh way. And it was just kind of like stepping back. Multifunctional furniture can be used in different ways, but when it stays in the same spot and we keep the same stuff in it, sometimes we don't really realize, I don't think, that it can be something else.
Yeah. And it's sometimes it's hard to sort of divorce yourself from the idea of how cool something looks in one spot and like, hey, that could actually work somewhere else. So this drama of when my computer just fell over and smashed my wine glass, it smashed it because it smashed it on marble. So I have this really cool marble piece, like from a dry sink or like a, not a kitchen dry sink, but like more of those ones that would have like the basin and the pitcher, you know, in the old days. So it's got kind of like a step up and some scallops. It's so cool. And I've always had it in my desk in my conservatory where I keep my sketch pencils and everything like that. And I've always loved it. Every time I look in there, I'm like, oh, look at that cool desk that I got for free. It has that beautiful piece of marble on it, blah, blah, blah. But the conservatory is in like a total state of still redoing the floors. It's a mess. And I just felt like this loss. I love this piece of marble, but I'm not enjoying it at all. And it's been 6 months at least. So I thought, well, I need to get my office ready for the season and the school year. I'm going to bring that upstairs. And I think I posted it on Instagram maybe 2 weeks ago. I love it. It's like this clean space for my mouse and my keyboard. And my computer is like elevated now a little bit, which lines up with my camera a little bit better. And it's fantastic. I never thought I would be able to take this piece that I loved so much in one room and put it somewhere else. But sometimes you have to try, you know?
You just have to try.
Really get used to pieces in certain places.
Yeah.
Like that's the beauty of experimenting and you never know. And this has actually been very, very, very useful. So aside from being a hard surface for fragile glass. So.
And maybe some people can hold those ideas of where their furniture could go a little bit better in their head. I'm just a visual person. Like I like to put the paint on the palette and just see how it goes, you know? So I'll get a whim or an idea. And then I'll tell you what, once that catches.
Hell hath no fury.
Hell hath no fury. Like a woman who wants a piece of furniture moved. That is just the truth. That being said, I know some of you probably find yourself at that stage of life, but I'm also finding myself a little bit in the opposite where I'm like, there's so much going on right now with this stage of kid that I have to be careful about what kind of chaos, what additional chaos I bring in.
Yeah, because
you know what I mean?
Anytime you do something like that, you have to go through this period of chaos. So my mom, she totally dogged me because she's like, let's do the couch today. Let's move the couch today. And then 2 hours in, she's like, I gotta go.
Yeah. Listen, there is that always that point where you're like, I want to go.
Pieces and bolts and nuts. I'm like, okay, I'll send you a picture, mom.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right. We have 5 more tips to go, but let's take a quick break and let people know what we're up to outside of Homemaker Chic Podcast. I caught you off guard when I asked you to do this last week.
That is so okay. All right.
It is nothing elaborate. Just tell people where they can find you.
Yeah. So
what you're doing.
Yeah, I love it because I know there's people in our audience that have wondered like, hey, I'd like to hang out with Ange and Jay a little bit more in real life. And the good news is you can. So outside of this podcast, I am Parisian farm girl. And I have been since 2025. That's when I launched my brand.
Nope.
I wanted
nope.
to 20, Wrong. 2005. Shay, stop. And I don't use plastic bottles. I use glass.
I'm here to help. I'm just here to help.
Thank you. I drove to Green Bay for groceries this morning. I have been, Parisian farm girl since 2005. I started this little blog because I wanted to share my newborn because I felt like the first person to ever become a mother. And then one day I posted a picture of my coffee table and people really liked it. And that began this journey of sharing French style that I love and subsequent French inspired living. And now I have an online store called everydaychateau.com where you can buy French antiques that I handpick myself in Paris. And you can actually come to Paris with me and I will take you to those flea markets and do the translating for you and introduce you to my favorite antique dealers, and we will have a riot and make really, really good friendships. And I have a YouTube channel, and so you can find me online as Parisian Farm Girl, and I would love to have you join me in Paris in April of 2026. Mm-hmm. And the good news is you can also join Shay on trips, and she has some delicious things to share with you.
Go to Paris for a week and then come with me to Italy for a week.
Absolutely.
I mean, what are we doing here? Okay. So circa 2010, I also was the first person to ever become a mother who wanted to share pictures of her baby. So I started the Elliott Homestead. And look, at that time, the Elliott Homestead was a dream. I had this dream of cooking food from scratch, of growing food, of being like connected to my family. And could we make this like joy of beautiful living work? And so what originated as the Elliott Homestead blog has now morphed into the Elliott Homestead YouTube channel. The Elliott Homestead Cultivating the Beautiful Life on Substack, and most recently, a home goods store called Limone, and of course, culinary, beautiful, slow living retreats in rural Italy. It was so funny. I was talking about your trips to Paris today, and I was thinking, man, if something goes awry on a trip in Paris, there's like 40,000 things you could do in Paris to kill time. If something goes wrong in rural Italy, you're like, well... Everyone better just take a nap. The grocery stores are closed today. Sorry.
I've had guests where like they can't get their internet to work. Their cell phone's supposed to like activate when they hit the ground. One lady's like, well, I just walked. She came early. She goes, I just walked around for 2 days before you got here. It was like the best experience of my life. I just kept telling my family, I'm alive. Don't worry.
I'm alive.
And she would check in at like whatever cafes and email them. And
yes, I love that. It's just part of the adventure of it all. But what I love about these pieces of our business is that if you took all the cameras away and all the audiences, followers, you and I are going to literally do these exact same things. But anyway, that is what we're up to outside of Homemaker Chic podcast. And there's going to be links to all that information below the show. We would love for you to connect with us over on our various channels in various ways. Join us on a trip. They're both going to be incredible adventures. We'd love to see you there. Okay. Back to the home.
Are we on six or seven? What are we?
We're on six.
Okay. Oh,
here's your unsexy one. Ready?
Daily habits. Daily habits. So we're talking simple routines to help you maintain order and function in the home. Not sexy, but like we did a season called It Doesn't Just Happen. And
it doesn't.
For me, if I start like getting a little pissy, which is what we call it in this house, it's because I'm not doing the thing. Like I'm not doing the thing. I'm not just picking up the laundry and walking it from point A to point B. Or,
yep.
Like it's easy to grumble. As much as I am a doer, it's easy to have the thought, oh, that's ticking me off.
Yeah.
Instead of just executing. Doing the thing.
So here's what I would suggest with this, peoples. I would suggest that you write yourself a list in terms of priority, 1 to 10, what gets you to that state and what gets you out of it. So for example, if you're finding yourself a little out, okay?
Yeah.
Stu's learned actually, which is ironic if you've listened to this podcast since the beginning, but he's like, you need to go work out. After the workout, that physicalness has just sort of coming out. Then it's like, what's my list of getting things back on track? Getting the aroma, getting that clutter-free nonsense of, ah, the house is a wreck, into a cozy, beautiful place again. Kitchen, run the dishwasher, do a quick sweep through the entire house, grab all the dishes, load them up, start the dishwasher, put out a fresh rag, clean out the food out the bottom of the sink.
Yes.
Light a candle. Okay. That's my number one. I don't know what yours is. Everyone's going to have their own. And then floors. Run the vacuum or have a kid run the vacuum. But like there is something about crunch, crunch, crunch when you're walking through the house and like granola is sticking to the bottom of your sock and you're like, that's it.
Why am I angry? Yes, exactly.
And turns out if you just do it once a day, like I can vacuum my entire first floor probably about 15 minutes if I do it every day. That's pretty good time spent.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to reach breaking point. That's what I'm saying. Like, the daily habits is to try to keep you from getting to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my two big ones. Like, just do these two things and then see how you feel. Probably be fine.
Yeah. As long as I make my bed in the morning. Mm. And this is my office, but it's connect. My closet is in my office and the laundry room is connected to my office. So as long as they're not, I hate clothing.
Yeah.
I hate it. It just makes
it's heavy.
Me feel like,
it's visually like, heavy.
Wow. Yeah. I think, you know, I've been in friends' homes where I've thought, you know, if you just put that laundry away, it would look so nice in here. Like, yeah. Just put the laundry away. So I have this rule, like, we do not put laundry on furniture ever, ever, ever. It doesn't sit there to get folded because that will never happen.
Yeah.
As long as the laundry's like not on furniture, the kitchen counters are wiped off. There's not stuff on the table. So
yes.
I am married to someone who leaves things on the table. Laptop, yeah. Briefcase, socks.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of it's a surface thing. As long as like the yeah. four main surfaces are clean and then I just walk through and I flip the toilet lids closed because I don't want to see them open as I walk by. Just a few things that kind of make me go, okay.
Wiped off counters is a really big one.
Wiped off counters is big. Yeah.
I hate when you see that, even if the counter's clean, but there's like a smear of peanut butter on it. I hate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's butter. It's peanut butter. And then we just use like, we have these huge salt and pepper grinders and then they set them down and it makes like residual salt and yeah. pepper on the counter. And then I end up putting them where they go.
Mm-hmm.
Shocker. And then there's still the
yeah
shrapnel on the counter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So if you're finding yourself in a bit of a waddy feeling, maybe write down just three habits that you'd like to focus on. I've been trying to make Stu take the garbage out every day, even if it doesn't fully need to be taken out because yeah. flies, summer bugs.
Because flies. Yeah.
And just the heat. Our kitchen is not insulated, so it gets so bloody hot in there.
Swampy and flies.
And I'm like, I don't want to smell this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like this, that doesn't make me feel cozy, beautiful. That makes me feel cluttered and suffocating. And I think actually it's important that we're going to talk about tip 10 in just a couple tips, but okay. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Okay.
Establish what your daily habits are that make you feel that way, homemaker. What makes you feel good? What makes your home feel good? Sometimes if I can't give it the attention it needs, I put on music. I just put on music and I'm like, this somehow overrides. It somehow helps the atmosphere, the stanky atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does help. Light a candle, flush the toilets, put on some music. Okay, this is probably your most favorite tip or the one you're most famous for.
Okay.
Personal touches.
Yeah.
Personal touches. I read this article the other day and it said, white is out. Homemakers are embracing color. And I was like, white.
You're welcome.
Some of us have just been here the whole time. Right. Some people really like white. And I, of course, totally fine. I'm doing an all white bathroom right now. But I would encourage homemakers to find the things that actually make them happy, not the things that other people say should make them happy. You are a maximalist. Behind you is an alabaster collection of beautiful statues and lovely things. That's your thing. That's not somebody else's.
Right.
It might be, and they might draw inspiration from that. But again, while you're writing your little daily habits list, homemakers, why not make just a little list of like, actually, what do I really like? Do I really like houseplants or do I not? Do I like area rugs or not?
And it doesn't have to be like a big design purchase. It doesn't have to be a Persian rug or an alabaster collection. If you also look behind me, see those things taped to my mirror?
Mm-hmm.
I like scrapbooky things.
Yeah.
Above my coffee station, like if there's, you know, we do like three scripture readings in church. And if one... I really enjoyed one or whatever, I'll cut it out. I'll like packing tape it over so it can't get wet. And I just stick it right to the mirror. I have the doxology. you know, yep. my favorite four verses of the doxology right there. Maybe scripture I'm trying to memorize is stuck on a bathroom mirror.
Yep.
So if there's a flower that I really enjoyed from the garden, I just posted on Instagram the other day, this painting that I love so much, and I had these beautiful hydrangeas, and I just wedged them behind the painting because I wanted to enjoy them right now. So I think it's those little tiny, tiny things,
That's
whether
right.
it's a cutout from the church bulletin or a flower that you're just enjoying right now and you just want to stick it somewhere, that really make it personal. And that's what I do. If there's yes. a little memento from a child or a little love note, or here's a, you know, Julian is like the Lego guru in this family. And I have my range, which is blue. It's a Lacanche. Her name's Luca. And he made me one a couple years ago out of Legos. And it's perfect. And I do not have the heart to take it out of the kitchen. It just sits there right with my mustard pots. And it's just, it's right. like a memento. And those yeah. things for me, as far as a homemaker, looking around and seeing those tiny little individual touches that aren't so much like design, they're just special. That what that does, it kind of just kind of reminds me of my purpose. Like, okay, why yeah. are you here? Like, this is what's most important.
And that's right.
Special little cherished moments. That's why you're doing all of this.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's personal touches right now for me. Mm-hmm.
Our pastor always says, keep the main thing the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it sounds so simple, but it's actually true. What? Who is your home for? Instagram?
No. I want you to like stay right there while we move on to tip. Can we swap 8 and 9?
Sure.
Let's swap 8 and 9 because seasonal refreshes. We are coming into this heavy pressure season of, do you have the right pumpkins on your porch? Could you afford mums this year?
Who can ever afford pumpkins on their porch?
You know, it's just like, let the seasonal refreshes be something you truly want to do, not because you were scrolling last night in the bathtub and you saw 72 front porches full of stuff you can't afford. Just saying.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to spend $250 on pumpkins to decorate my front porch. And I'll tell you what, if you grow them yourself, you'll get like 3.
I grow the blue ones. I'm like, I have three blue pumpkins.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. What I usually do is just buy one beautiful one and I just stick it there. And that's all that it is.
And forget it. Yeah.
No, again, what do you want to do? Seasonal refreshes are really vibrant in our home, but they're fairly minimal because I don't have a big porch to decorate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a foyer to like welcome people into to do a big display in. It's just not that type of a house. And mm-hmm. so seasonal refreshers need to be intentional and beautiful and organic. So did you know that my very first business that I ever owned myself was called The Wooden Ladder, and it was an Etsy store. And I was a floral designer for 10 years. So I did like wreaths and corsages and bridal bouquets out of silk flowers for people.
Oh.
And that's what I did. And so I would make these elaborate, beautiful wreaths. And I've learned those sorts of things don't work in my home because my home is surrounded by real gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And you put like a silk hydrangea, even if it's a beautiful hydrangea, you put a silk hydrangea on your kitchen door. It looks so out of place.
Right.
So like for us, seasonal refreshers need to be really organic. I mean like a homemade wreath out of grapevines.
Grapevines. Yeah.
Or these.
Roadside.
Yeah, exactly. Or like our corn stalks cut off and tied to the fence line. Something of the sort that feels like it goes with the rest of the house. To me, that gives it that cozy feel.
And not to say that you can't, obviously, we have listeners that have big front verandas. And
yeah.
Tricking them out with 72
pumpkins. I would totally do it.
Yeah. I'm not disparaging that. I do know we also have young brides with little children and like they would actually have to dip into the grocery budget for those mums and pumpkins, you know?
Sure.
And so I just think it's important with seasonal refreshers, like to do it for yourself
Yeah.
And yeah, to do it for yourself.
To do it for yourself. Do it for yourself in a way that makes sense for your house. If I lived in suburbia and I didn't have the gardens that I have or the aesthetic that I have, I would be putting those wreaths up all day long because I think they're beautiful. I love them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, finding pieces that work is important too. Okay.
Okay. Now this one I know is, I mean, I do this, but I know you're really big on this, is zone organization.
Yeah. Yeah. Organize the zones of your house. And how are you going to do that? Are you going to do it seasonally? Are you going to do it once a day? So our cleaning schedule, we're not doing this during summer, but we will back when school starts, is just take it a room at a time. A room at a time. To vacuum, to clean floors, to shift stuff around if you need to, edit as you need to, shift it around as you need to. Things need a home. Things need a home in order to give a sense of order and functionality.
And grouping. Yeah. You know, like group, like, okay, this is the homeschool corner. Here are the tubs. Here's the, you know, here is the broken cup that I can't bear to part with, but that's, it's right, full of pencils.
But here's where season. It goes.
Right. You know, like this is, and, you know, yeah. I know you do zone organizing in your kitchen, for example, for sure. So you can move seamlessly throughout the kitchen. And
sure.
Yeah. It just creates like this sense of order and makes a little bit more functional when you've got, okay, this area is for this and this cabinet is for that. And,
or I cook obviously a lot in my kitchens, what I do. And I decided, you know, I use those like crocks to hold my utensils. So this was probably a couple of years ago, but I just thought, I'm looking through the crock, trying to find the thing I want. And I just thought, okay, this isn't working. You're going to have a crock for your spatulas and tongs. Then you're going to have a crock for all your wooden spoons.
I have a metal. So I use champagne buckets, naturally. I have a champagne bucket for wooden spoons and I have a champagne bucket for metal things.
Different cat. In my mind, I'm like, just ease. Yep. Whew, I got to know where I'm going. I have a little zone. Remember that beautiful little red lamp that you shipped to me years ago? Mm-hmm. It broke in transit, but I still have it up in my kitchen because I love it so much.
It's awesome.
And I have it in a basket and I love having a little zone that's within my right arm reach. I'm right-handed. I have olive oil. I have salt. I have pepper. I have a candle. I have a hand top right there. Mm-hmm. I love that little zone, my little work zone. I'm standing at the stove. I'm chopping up. I'm cooking. I got a little zone for that. So like,
yeah.
Again, this is a fun personal stuff. This shouldn't be stuff that you take exactly from Angela Rye, because like how we move in our homes is going to be different. What we like in our homes is going to be different, which kind of segues into our final tip. Tip 10, which is embrace imperfection.
Please,
please. Do it for yourself. Just do it. Cliche, but like it really is a progress over perfection thing. This isn't a job that you complete. It's not a list that you just check off. Duh, 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 done.
You won't finally ever be organized.
No. Probably. And your house won't ever finally ever be perfectly clean. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's okay. And if you just need a little, like a little good vibration about it with that, like that lived in charm, go watch a Goodyear. Okay. Just loosen up. Go watch a Goodyear. I love that. I love when he like takes the paintbrush out and it's all dried up and he's like soaking it, trying to get it to be a paintbrush again, you know, and you're just like, what would it look like if you were able to paint something with that paintbrush? Because it's just dried and nasty, right? Even the scorpions and the windowsill and the piles of old letters and the dried lavender. And when I watch that, it makes me want to create beauty.
That house
now,
is...
that is fake, but, but the imperfection of it is creativity, beauty, personality. And to me, it just really encapsulates, you know, from the overgrown garden to like the leaves collected in the pool. There's just something about it that I delight in. So just in case you need a little refresher for embracing that imperfection.
I am like, Oh, I just remembered. We're actually going there.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, like the house isn't open.
Yeah.
But we are going to go to the to the fields and the winery and
get
a glimpse of the house. Obviously, it's a private residence, but.
Well, they need to get over themselves.
Oh, no, gosh. I've seen their website and they're like, please, we live here. The movie's 20 years old. Can you please all just get over it?
No, because it's my favorite movie of all time. Okay.
Yeah.
So what about it? What about it? I am going to exit this office and I don't know what I'm going out to.
I hate that.
At that moment. So I'm going to take these tips with me for a clutter-free, cozy home. Making beauty. I'm going to be right there alongside with you. Sorting goggles. Killing flies. Here we go, ladies. Links, codes, all that jazz is underneath in the show notes, so you can check that out. And we'll be back here with you next Monday.
Yeah, I'm going to post the top 10 too. So if you're like, what was number 7 again?
Oh, obviously, good idea.
I want you to re-listen to the show, but I'm going to post
okay.
10 bullet points
there you go.
For you. So
there you go. All right, ladies. Happy homemaking. We'll see you next Monday.
Cheers.